Well, folks, one more wake up, and then it's the beginning. Not the end, but the beginning. Welcome to Hagmann. It is the Hagmann Report for today. It's Monday, November 4, 2024. We're less than 12 hours away, actually 10 hours away to be exact, on the East Coast for the polls to open. And I'll tell you something. Are you going to be as happy as I am when all of this is over? Maybe, I don't know, maybe happy is not quite the right word. But certainly I'm looking forward to starting what this whole process ends, if you understand what I mean. I want to thank the people joining me in the chat, joining us in the chat. We have a jam-packed show tonight for you. Before I get into the show, I want to take care of some business, and that's this. You know, folks, I want you to mark this website down. Make sure you have this at the ready. Bookmark it, healthwithdoug.com. You know, countless Americans are going to waste a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of money this year trying to reduce wrinkles, but failing because they miss a real problem. And I'm going for not just wrinkles, but all skin issues. The real problem is a decrease in their natural collagen reserves. Now, let me explain. Scientists found that after the age of 20, your body produces about 12% less collagen each decade. And that's something I cannot afford to lose, nor can you. If you experience an excess of sagging skin, wrinkles, whatever your age, your collagen may be deficient. Plus, knowing that you should supplement your collagen isn't enough. You've got to use the right type, quality. And this is what I use. Yeah, I use this amazing new collagen mixture to revitalize and rejuvenate my skin. I do put it in my coffee. I do a lot of things with it. Take it in a lot of different ways. But unlike typical collagen supplements found on the store shelves, this is highly effective because it combines top five critically important types of collagen for skin health. It's formulated to help reduce visible signs of aging, reduce wrinkles, promote a healthy, youthful glow, promote elasticity, and promote skin hydration. That was one of my biggest problems, believe it or not. My wife says, oh, you got beautiful skin. The best ever. I'm doing my best Trump impression, Donald Trump impression. God bless you. Now, if you want to do your skin a favor, get it today. Well, it's 51. That's right, 51% off only at healthwithdoug.com. Plus, if you order today, you're going to get a free VIP live health and fitness coaching for life. It's a new free ebook titled The 14 Foods. The 14 Foods for Amazing Skin. I can do this. Hey, give me a break, okay? I spent the entire weekend glued to three different news streams, okay? So I'm sorry about that. The 14 Foods for an Amazing Skin, a 6-day satisfaction guarantee and free shipping. So once again, that's healthwithdoug.com, or simply click on the link in the description box below. All right, healthwithdoug.com, healthwithdoug.com. Remember that. Okay, so, and make sure, well, yeah, that automatically goes to our affiliate link. Okay, with me right now is the man, the myth, the legend, the guy that lives in the middle of nowhere and takes no prisoners on his daily radio show, The John Moore Show, at thelibertyman.com. With me, of course, is John Moore. John, good to see you, my friend.
Doug, good to be with you. Funny you should mention that. I have a neighbor, retired CIA field officer. He told the local criminals that John Moore doesn't call the sheriff, and he does have access to a backhoe.
Since my one neighbor since both neighbors actually on each side of me put up Harrison Walls signs, being passive aggressives that they are, I'm serious about this. I took some lights, portable lights out in the very, very back part of my yard, and I started digging a hole at night, 6 foot by 6 foot. But I, right. So the neighbors were like really wondering what I was doing, and I would every once in a while, you know, have a maniacal laugh, but. Hey, you know what? Whatever works. But the fact is, this is nasty, isn't it? This is probably one of the most consequential, but also most nastiest campaigns I've seen. Not nasty from President Trump, but nasty from the left. I mean, calling us garbage and, you know, that smack in the ass comment by Biden. And my goodness, your thoughts, my friend.
Well,
your thoughts.
One observation that I've heard, I can't tell you who to give credit to, but we know and believe that the left has bad ideas. The left knows and believes that we're bad people. And I think that's, I found it to be pretty true for the most part. How about you, Doug?
I mean, there's, you know, again, I always say that this is ideologically driven, but the ideology that is driving this, negative stance is rooted in a communist slash demonic, very demonic, very spiritually based war that we're fighting. And John, if you didn't see this, and folks, this post at HagmanPI.com is a, it absolutely blew my mind. I had to watch it two, three different times. It is an interview between Tucker Carlson and Steve Bannon. It's 25, 27 minutes long at most. I got to tell you, John, he lays it out, the spiritual component of this fight. We're not fighting. Donald Trump is not fighting Kamala Harris, you know, Kamala Comrade McKneepads. He's fighting a mechanism of demonic, just a demonic mechanism.
It is. So, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. Go ahead, sir. I don't mean to.
Well, I'm a big fan of Steve Bannon, and on the wall behind him, he's got a number of obviously Catholic images and pictures and so forth. And so most likely he's Catholic. I don't know. But I absolutely agree.
Yes.
I absolutely agree with Mr. Bannon that this is a spiritual war. I've been saying that on my show now for several years. And it's easy to get caught up in all the nuances of what's going on, what people said, what they did, what's being proposed, and so forth. And we need to keep drawing ourselves back to the basic premise that this is a spiritual war, just to keep us fresh in our mind so that we don't lose track of what's important.
Exactly. And I think people are not... The one thing that I really took away from Steve Bannon and Tucker's interview, and folks, again, go to HagmanPI.com, click on the link, or click on the... you'll see it. The one thing I took away from this is the fact that this is a spiritual war, and I've been saying this, but to hear them talk about it, it's a spiritual war manifesting in the physical. And you know, America has sinned in the eyes of God through this cult of infanticide, through this warmongering, this war machine, and in so many other ways. It's just absolutely incredible to hear it laid out in the fashion that he did. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so happy to see Robert Kennedy Jr. joining President Trump. A lot of people forgot that Robert Kennedy Jr. was part of the first Trump administration for about 4 weeks, 6 weeks, something like that. And he's back. And Robert Kennedy will be exposing publicly, because he'll have a massive audience being part of the Trump administration, how sick Americans have become, with 7 out of 10 American adults having a chronic illness, 7 out of 10 Americans between 18 and 26 not eligible to join any branch of the military because either too fat, too dumb, too drugged up, or too many criminal convictions, or a combination of two or more of the above.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh, but yeah.
Well, it's humorous on one hand, but it's pretty tragic. If you listen carefully, Robert Kennedy talk about vaccines, he'll say, if I can paraphrase, that he believes in safe and effective vaccines. But what you'll never hear him publicly state is his opinion about what constitutes a safe and effective vaccine. I believe he's couching his words to not lose his audience. I believe privately Robert Kennedy would say that there are no safe and effective vaccines, which is my conclusion and many others who've been looking at it more carefully. Robert Kennedy Jr. has also said in the last 3 or 4 days, you may have missed this, Doug, that President Trump will attempt to remove fluoride from the drinking water nationwide. That's a big deal.
It's a big deal, and no, I didn't miss it. And absolutely, and I'll tell you something. You mentioned that that RFK Jr. was part of his first administration for about 4 weeks, roughly. The people, now, I'm not 100% sure what happened, but I do know this. The people that were with him in the 2016 race, there's a whole new team there, and you can see it in the proactive nature of the lawsuits that the RNC, by way of Trump's urging, have filed. So that's good, and I do believe the team that he's assembled is going to be just fantastic. Go ahead, sir.
Well, we got the dream team. We got the woman, Democrat from Hawaii, who's become a Republican. I don't recall she's her name.
Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi,
yes, absolutely great. Elon Musk, Robert Kennedy Jr., the dream team. And President Trump has said publicly, and it's very true, when he became president in 2016, he was taking advice from lobbyists about who should be in his administration, much to his dismay. He made wrong decisions based on advice from lobbyists. He's learned from that, obviously. I would love to see General Mike Flynn be part of the administration. I met General Flynn at an event in Tulsa, a great guy. We spent a few minutes talking, and he's the real deal. The two things that the powers that be really feared about President Trump, the first administration, was Robert Kennedy Jr. and General Flynn. And they did their best to make sure they're both gone really quickly because they feared both men, their honesty, their integrity, and their ability to get things done. So I don't know if General Flynn will be back or not. I hope he is. And, of course, Robert Kennedy, we don't need to go into great detail about Robert Kennedy. He's the real deal, a true believer. He's upside down on a couple of things, maybe involving the environment. I'm not positive, but he can't do much. He can't do any legislation, but he can bring a spotlight on two major things: the harmful food that Americans eat that make them fat and sick, and the harmful vaccines that we're shooting up our children with. 72 plus vaccines between birth and 18 years old. Doug, you know, our generation, we may have got two or three. And that was it.
Yeah.
And they were dangerous enough. The polio vaccine was in the late 50s, was laced with the cancer virus, which probably killed my wife because she was the right age to get that. I didn't get it. I was too old. But those who got the polio vaccine in the late 50s got the cancer virus. And my wife, Dr. Moore, you could not live a cleaner or healthier life than that woman did. And she got the cancer anyway. And it killed her, breast cancer.
It's just, you know, and my heart goes out to you and your family because of that. Many things obviously wrong. John, and ladies and gentlemen, watching live and by way of archive, either through Rumble, other platforms, as well as the audio broadcast platforms. I am so honored. John, you are the you spent your whole life in the military as well as in a quasi law enforcement capacity. You were a homicide detective, homicide investigator, I should say. You've been in the courtroom so many times, and we are I am so honored right now. And I asked you to hang back because you've got a huge audience of your own. So this is kind of like a twofer, if you will, for my very special guest, Sheriff Richard Mack. And I'd like you to hang with me, and we can because again, the audience crossover is just tremendous. Richard Mack, of course, everyone on the planet knows Richard Mack. He's one of my heroes, actually. I don't talk about that much, but, you know, he's a former sheriff of Graham County, Arizona. He served in law enforcement for 20 years. He was a patrol officer. And I can relate to all of this. Corporal, sergeant, undercover agent, school resource officer, detective, specialized in crimes against children. Oh, man, after my heart. In 1988, he was elected to the office of sheriff in his hometown and served in that capacity for 8 years. Okay. In 1991, he graduated from the FBI Academy. Now, it was a different place, different time back then, so understand that. Now, during his tenure as sheriff, he became the first sheriff in American history to sue the federal government. And this is when I kind of became aware, later on after this, but I became aware of this. He sued the federal government to sue the federal government. The suit went all the way to the Supreme Court. I apologize for stuttering there. And he won a landmark case against the government overreach during the Clinton administration. Many of you recall that. I know you do. The case Mac/Prince v. U.S. That case has been hailed as the most, folks, listen, the most powerful 10th Amendment decision in history, in U.S. history. Now, if you don't know what the 10th Amendment is, pick up your Constitution and study that. Mac was named NRA Law Enforcement Officer of the Year, inducted into the NRA Hall of Fame, receiving the Cicero Award, the Samuel Adams Leadership Award. I could go on, folks, for days. He received the Gun Owners of America's Defender of the Second Amendment Award and so on. I should mention this. He was also elected Official of the Year by the Arizona New Mexico Coalition of Counties. Now, he is a founder. Folks, you got to bookmark this website, and not just bookmark it, study it, but also contribute, join, whatever. I mean, you've got to support this organization because it's one of the few in this country, I believe, that really represents the people. And, you know, there are too few. Every sheriff should be a constitutional sheriff. But he's the founder and president, again, of the Constitutional Sheriff and Peace Officers Association, the short CSPOA.org. He's provided, the organization itself, just so you folks know, is dedicated to the restoration of the individual liberty and the protection of civil rights, ours. And he's provided hundreds of training seminars to sheriffs, police, public officials in all 50 states. He's been on CNN, Fox, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, Newsmax. He's been featured in the New York Times, LA Times, USA Today. He's been on over 1,000 radio networks worldwide. He's been married for 49 years, just a little shy of me in terms of my marriage. So to his wife, Dawn Mack, they've got 5 children and 15 grandchildren. You beat me by a few there, Sheriff Mack. Sheriff Mack, thank you so much for your time. God bless you, my friend.
Well, Doug, thank you. Wow, what an introduction. Thank you so much. And I have to echo what John was saying about General Flynn. I sure hope he gets in the cabinet. He deserves it. And his leadership will be very, very much needed there in Washington, D.C. The only thing I would tell Trump is don't put any more swamp dwellers in your cabinet. We've learned our lesson. Don't use them. Don't have them. Get all the constitutional conservatives there are and use them. And I'll volunteer to be the... ambassador to Guatemala.
Really?
Sí, yo hablo español.
I don't know a lick of Spanish. Say that in Latin.
I graduated in Latin American studies and Spanish, so I'm ready to go and I'm ready to work for Trump wherever he would want me. But the thing of it is, we've got a lot of work to do between now and January 20th. And hopefully, it'll be a smooth transition for Trump to get back in the White House.
I hope so, too. And Sheriff, you don't mind. John Moore, he's the Liberty Man, John Moore Radio Show. Vast audience complimenting. You don't mind him sitting in, of course.
Oh, heavens no. It's a privilege to have him. My honor, okay. John. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mayor. Sir, Sheriff Mayor. Appreciate it.
So, Sheriff, I know that there are a couple of things I want to ask you, including some information about the Supreme Court case that you won. But before I do, can I get you just to kind of give me a your feeling about where we're at with the election. Here we are, one wake up before the election, and so, well, 10 hours really before the polls open. What's your feeling about how things are going?
Well, I was just thinking earlier about a friend of mine named Ernie, who's a libertarian, and every election he would say, it doesn't matter which side wins. He even said that when Barack Obama was running. And Ernie, I hate to tell you this, but this one really matters. This really matters. This is the year Americans, whether we like it or not, are going to choose between our constitutional republic and specifically the Bill of Rights or the Communist Manifesto. And if Kamala gets in, she will put the nails in our already very sick on her bed. Finished off by the Harris administration. And it tomorrow scares me a great deal because I don't believe that we've set up enough safeguards to prevent the cheating. But I hope Trump's admonition to us all to get out and vote early, which is the first time in my life I ever have. My wife and I always vote and brag that we vote on election day. We went last week, a week ago, and got it done. And so I hope Trump is right, that it was too big to rig, that the Republicans are flooding the polls nationwide, and that he indeed will be number 47. I pray that will happen. The reason I'm so concerned is because this administration has proved me correct and prophetic, because I've said it for a long time, that the greatest threat to our God-given American liberty is our own federal government. And what they've done at the border and other places has proved this absolutely true.
Amen to that. John, and Sheriff Mack, to have the invasion, to allow this invasion, it just blows my mind. We have documented 13,099 murders let in. You've got the official number, I think, is just north of 21 million. I'm pretty sure it's far beyond that. Illegal invaders into our country. And if tomorrow, if Harris is installed, I'm just afraid that it's going to end everything, including the sovereignty of our nation. So 100%. But John, I mean, your experience in this as well, and you've got some, you know, firsthand experience in the border stuff, but your thoughts and questions for Sheriff Mack?
Regarding the border?
Yeah, or yes. Or segueing from that into anything else.
Well, I want to point out something. Sheriff Mack graduated from the FBI Academy in 1988. 2 years later, the FBI arrested John Gotti. John Gotti was a violent man who was personally responsible for murder, armed robberies, every kind of criminal activity you can imagine. Did they go to his home in the middle of the night like they did with Roger Stone to wake him up with 30 agents dressed up like they were going on raids in Iraq? No. They went to a restaurant. Mr. Gotti was having dinner with a couple of his mafia buddies. The FBI walked to him wearing suits and coats and ties. Mr. Gotti, we have a warrant for your arrest. You need to come with us, sir. There's been a big change between the way the FBI acted in 1990, arresting a violent career criminal mafioso, and what they're doing now with a nonviolent white-collar charge against a nonviolent man, Roger Stone, where they have 30 men, helicopters, boats, and everything else looking like they're going on a raid in Iraq. Sheriff Mack, what is your observations on that, sir?
I share your sentiments exactly on that. It was absurd. Same thing happened at Waco. Same thing happened at Ruby Ridge. If the sheriffs had remained in charge, they would have taken care of the entire incident. We would have never heard of Randy Weaver or David Koresh, the law still would have been enforced. But for some reason, these guys have gone so rogue, and they want to make a big splash every place they go. But for a white collar criminal who's never been in jail, never been arrested before, never committed a crime, never committed a violent crime in his life, and you have to take 30 agents to go arrest him, go knock on the door, for heaven's sakes. And if you can't do it, call the local sheriff and ask him to do it for you. Because
actually, Sheriff Mack, if they called Roger Stone's attorney and said, would you have Mr. Stone turn himself in, he would have showed up.
Of course. Of course he would. And so the FBI, my dad retired from the FBI in 1975, and the FBI, as written by Gary Aldrich, a former FBI agent who worked at the White House under the Clinton administration, he told all sorts of secrets and blew the whistle on a lot of things. The FBI just follows orders from whoever's in the White House. They'll do anything they're told. And I know there's good people who work for the FBI, but 99% of them just do what they're told. They're Nuremberg officers who just follow orders. And the FBI needs to be revamped, if not abolished and reconstructed altogether. And so, in fact, after I lost my third election, I moved back to Utah where I started my police career, ran for Utah County Sheriff. I won the county convention 2-1 over my incumbent opponent. So I guess I got people scared. So I beat the federal government at the U.S. Supreme Court in June of 1997. Justice Scalia wrote the decision. 1 year later, almost to the day, I'm running for sheriff in Utah County. And 3 days before the election, the FBI and IRS raid my office and put my name on a search warrant that had nothing to do with me. It was a client that I worked for that I had. And my wife was the secretary and receptionist. And they came in with about 25. Thank goodness they didn't have their guns blazing. It wasn't a SWAT team. But they came in, completely changed the election because they had the local newspaper all ready to go. The headline, you couldn't have been bigger on the front page of the Provo Daily Herald. Mac raided by the FBI.
Oh, boy.
I lost. And then guess what, you guys? Guess what, John? I never heard from the FBI or IRS again. No interrogations, no interviews, no charges, no indictments, nothing. I never heard a word from these guys again. They got what they wanted.
That's right.
Little hit and run tactics, and they left town, and I never heard from them again. Wow.
Wow.
So you were a private detective at the time, sir?
No, I wasn't. I just left the sheriff's office in Arizona. So actually at that time, I hoped I was between sheriff jobs, but they ended my career. I never worked in law enforcement a day since then.
Roger that. Okay.
And am I to understand, Sheriff, that this was what happened there was a consequence of your Supreme Court case, the Mack Prince versus the U.S.? Is that
That's the only, no good deed goes unpunished, especially with the Clinton administration. And so, you know, I sued the Clintons. I beat them and lived to tell about it. They paid me back. And I asked the head guy, the head FBI, when they were in my office. And I said, why are you guys serving this warrant today? First of all, why is my name on this warrant? But I said, secondly, why are you serving it today? I get elected this coming Tuesday, and yet you guys couldn't have waited till the day of or the day after? Why? Who picked this day? Who picked this day? And nobody would answer.
Of course.
Well, it came out of Washington, D.C. to me.
Of course. Yeah. Of course it did.
Yeah. But if you want to, you want to touch on the high points of that case. Because – please feel free. This is important. There it is right there, folks.
I studied the case, and Cornell University Law School did the best review of any other college that I saw. I studied the Cornell University review over and over. And by the way, folks, you can get that at my website, This is $2, or you can get 3 for $5. You should get dozens of these and hand them out to your public officials in your county. Give one to your sheriff. Give one to your county attorney and say, hey, look what the Supreme Court ruled back in 1997. And why aren't we doing this here? But this is the most powerful, as you said in the introduction, most powerful 10th Amendment state sovereignty, local autonomy decision ever in the history of America. And I'll prove it. Scalia actually introduces the case and tells us that he's going to address this, speaking to the precise question, the answer to the CLIOs. They call us the CLIOs. The sheriffs are called the CLIOs in a United States decision, the chief law enforcement officers of the county. And even when the BATF came to our Sheriff's Association in Phoenix, they also said, we are directed to bring these marching orders as to who will enforce the Brady Bill for us. And it's you guys. You're the CLIOs. The Brady Bill says CLIOs shall. You guys are the sheriffs, and this is directed to you. And so there's two different documents that detail that the sheriffs are the head law enforcement officer of every county in this country. And so this decision. The history perspective of the challenge from the CLIOs, that it must be sought in historical understanding and practice. It's a history lesson. And then he quotes the Federalist Papers. And in Federalist 51, he said this: hence, a double security arises to the rights of the people. The different governments will control each other. And folks, that's exactly the truth. Our job is to make sure that you are protected from the incursions and tyranny of the federal government. And why would any sheriff allow these rogue federal bureaucracies to come into your county, do anything to you that they want, and then the sheriff says, oh, well, I don't have the authority to stop this kind of crime? What? That's absolutely not true. He is the head law enforcement officer of his county, not the FBI. The sheriff is the only elected by, for, and of the people law enforcement position anywhere in this country. He reports only to you. He answers only to you. You are his only boss. He doesn't answer to anyone else. He has to work with the county commissioners on budget, and that's it. That's it. He answers to you, he works for you, and you pay his salary. That's why we are a constitutional republic, because we choose who represents us, and they answer to us, the first three words of the Constitution, we the people. One other quote from the decision. He says, but the Constitution protects us from our own best intentions. And folks, it doesn't get any more power from that, except the end sentence of that same paragraph. It protects us also from, quote, the crisis of the day. And what do you think all these vaccines were? What do you think all this COVID-19 crap was? It was social engineering to get us to do what we're told, and that the king better follow the king and kiss his ring, or he's going to fire us if we don't get vaxxed. He's going to arrest us if we don't wear a mask, and he's going to arrest pastors for having church service. And folks, that happened in Mississippi, and it also happened in Tampa, Florida, where Sheriff Chronister arrested Pastor Rodney Howard Brown. And then
a friend of mine, yes, Rodney Howard Brown.
Isn't he about the best guy in the world? I absolutely love him.
Great guy. Yeah. And he's done so much for educating people. Yes. And I was outraged when I heard what happened back then. Go ahead, sir.
Well, and then in New Mexico, on the other hand, we had Sheriff Glenn Hamilton, and Pastor Caleb Cooper went to him and said, I'm not closing my church down. And the reason is because the government doesn't run our church. Jesus Christ runs our church. And I want to know what you will do, Sheriff, to protect me and the church. And Glenn Hamilton, Sheriff Hamilton, said this: if it takes me having to go to jail myself then so be it, because I will do everything in my power to protect you and your congregation. So here came the state police to shut him down. And they were confronted. Nothing violent, nothing out of hand, but Sheriff Hamilton told them the truth. Just so you know, police from the state, I have deputized every single person inside that church, and they are under my authority, and this church will remain open by order of Sheriff Glenn Hamilton. The state police left, and Pastor Caleb Cooper did not shut down one single second of a single Sunday, not ever. And now let me ask you folks, this is what we're after at the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Which sheriff, I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, which sheriff do you want in your community and in your county? The one that will defend civil rights, or the one that will let federal and state officials destroy the First Amendment and the right of freedom of religion? The choice is ours this year and throughout the short future that we have left, if Kamala Harris has her way.
Exactly. And I have to tell people, and if you reference this, I apologize, but going back to the Supreme Court case, a very interesting point that came from this, and people need to understand this, from your Supreme Court win back then, was that there were five Brady bills scheduled to be passed one year after the other for 5 years.
Yes.
Your fight and your victory stopped, put a halt to that, which I thought was amazing. A lot of people don't know that.
You're right. And Howard Mentenbaum introduced Brady Bill 2 just 2 weeks after I filed on Brady Bill 1. And then Sheriff Prince filed about 2 weeks after that. And he's from Ravalli County, Montana. And he and I ended up at the Supreme Court together. There were about seven of us sheriffs that did this. Seven sheriffs out of 3,086 that actually stood up and told the federal government they threatened to arrest us if we failed to comply and enforce the Brady Bill for them. First time in U.S. history where the federal government, the Congress, and the White House promulgated legislation that commanded the sheriffs to work for them for free. But I wouldn't have done it even if they paid it. No way. You know, we got enough political prostitutes in Washington, D.C. We don't need any more across the country. And so I wouldn't have done it if they had paid us, but they didn't offer any grants, any monies. They just said, you'll do it or you'll go to jail. And so we took it to court on that main issue. I said, first of all, the federal government does not tell me or any other sheriff what to do. And that's what we won on. And Scalia, in the order of the court, put it this way, it's absolutely amazing. And all of this in here, folks, you got to read this. EPA was ruled to be unconstitutional on page 11, ruled to be unconstitutional in the early 1970s. So this is Scalia, the federal government. This is the order of the court. The federal government may neither issue directives requiring the states to address particular problems, nor command the state's officers, in this case, the sheriffs, the CLIOs, or those of their political subdivisions. So the counties, the cities, the school boards, all political subdivisions of the states, to administer or enforce a federal regulatory program. Such commands are fundamentally incompatible with our constitutional system of dual sovereignty. Folks, I told you this is the most powerful decision in the history of the country. You've got to get a hold of this. Go to CSPOA.org, CSPOA.org. Order these. That he's already got it right there in front of you. And pass these around. Show people what this really did. And then while you're at it, join the CSPOA posse, because that is where we really have boots on the ground, and you're the boots. Work with your sheriff. We train you how to work with your sheriff, join his posse, or help him formulate a posse so that he has a Minuteman organization of able-bodied men and women in his county to help him in the case of any emergency. And he has the authority to call out his posse in order to keep the peace in his county. Look, folks, This is what it was meant to be. And some people go, oh, no, that would be like the old Wild West. It's not wild, but it was the old West. And we need the posses today, just like we did back then. And there is a monthly dues. It's a whole $11 a month for you to help us, and we help you. Folks, this is about the only peaceful and effective solution we have left. And you've got to be a part of it, or it doesn't work. We're all about peaceful and effective solutions. Peaceful and effective solutions. If you want to be a part of that, join us and let's make history together. If Kamala gets in, we're going to need constitutional sheriffs more now than ever before in the history of this country.
Sheriff, I'm wondering how many sheriffs are a member of the association now, sir, if you know offhand?
Yeah, we don't push membership with sheriffs. There's dozens that have joined on their own. But I never want a sheriff to say, all Matt cares about is sheriffs paying dues. I don't care that you do that. I care that you're a constitutional sheriff. In the past 10 years, we've trained over 1,100 sheriffs nationwide. Half of those sheriffs aren't sheriffs anymore.
Right.
But we've also trained county commissioners, deputies, peace officers, some city councils, even some mayors in some places. So our goal, we really have a solid 300 constitutional sheriffs nationwide. 300. Our goal is 1,000, one-third. There's 3,086 sheriffs in America. Folks, we need 500, 600, 700 more, and then you will have a sheriff nearby someplace in your state that you can go to for peace, safety, and protection.
If folks, if I can ask everyone listening, everyone viewing, whether it's live or by archive, do me a favor, go purchase, I don't know, as many of those books that you can. And I'm personally going to do the same. I'm going to make sure my sheriff on Wednesday, and not tomorrow, obviously, I believe the courthouses and the offices are closed, but I'm going to make sure my sheriff has a copy of that. We're going to have a discussion because I know his wife, who happens to be the works in the coroner's office. So, but I would urge everyone to go to the website, cspoa.org, get a copy of the books, join if you're so inclined, and I wish you would be inclined, and John's audience as well. John, I'd ask you to do the same thing because you're the one that's big on this too. But and you talk about this in your broadcast all of the time.
I do. So
go ahead, John.
Well, thank you. I'll do a little segue here. There's a movement in some of the blue cities, blue counties, to have sheriffs no longer be elected but be appointed and then take away their traditional role as a chief law enforcement
officer.
King
County, Washington just did that, John.
Yeah, my hometown of St. Louis County, they did that. It's been quite 20-something years ago.
Yeah.
How strong is that movement? Is it moving forward in very many counties? What's the status of that?
No, it's not. It's not picking up any steam. And in fact, right now, the state of Utah is actually shooting for, and I think it's going to pass, they're attempting to make it in the Utah Constitution that sheriffs will always be elected so that nobody can mess with the citizens' right and authority and stewardship to elect their own sheriffs. So actually, it's strengthening the position of the sheriff, and the people saw what the sheriffs did during COVID-19, and they stood against the mandates. And most of the people appreciate that.
Well, that's good news. I find it ironic that in some jurisdictions, they were ordering churches closed while right down the street the casinos were open. Don't you find it a bit ironic?
Yeah, and the strip clubs. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course. Of course. It's ridiculous.
It's so stupid. It's funny.
Yeah. Yes. You know, regardless of how tomorrow goes, if President Trump happens to pull this off, despite the rampant cheating and everything we know, look, folks, regardless of what happens, I'd really highly recommend this course of action because John, as you and I have spoken, really the only, I mean, the sheriff is the highest law elected law enforcement officer in the county, or in the state, really. I mean, well, in the county, but Sheriff Mack, your sheriffs, the constitutional sheriffs, are the ones that can kick out the FBI, basically say, look, you can't do what you're doing here.
My question is why they would allow him in there in the first place. But yes, they are the check and balance to what they do. And, I had a confrontation with the EPA, an Army Corps of Engineers. I ended up telling them, look, you're not going to do what you said you're going to do. They threatened to arrest our county commissioners and the maintenance crew fixing a bridge over the Gila River. And so I said, you're not going to arrest anybody in my county. And if you try, I will arrest you. We can get along just fine, but you're not coming in my county and arresting anybody. They left town. We fixed the bridge and everything was fine. So folks, the whole thing is every sheriff needs to put the federal government on notice, send them a letter and say, if you come in my county, you better check in with my office before you serve warrants or confiscate property, make arrests, anything else. You're coming to my county, you check with me first. And I know sheriffs that are already enforcing that. And FBI and others are smart enough to do that because they know it's in their best interest to get help from the local sheriff when they do stuff. So it just helps everybody and it keeps the people safe.
Sheriff, a few months ago, April, the director of the Little Rock Airport, Brian Malinkowski, I think his name is, he was raided by the ATF under cover of darkness. They covered up the doorbell camera to make sure that they couldn't be identified as law enforcement. Broke into his home at night. I'm sure Brian thought he was having a criminal invasion, and they shot and killed this man. When all I had to do was go to his office at the Little Rock Airport and serve him with a warrant the next morning if they chose to. So the ATF has not cleaned up their act at all, have they?
No, and there was a sheriff that kicked them out not too long ago. He was knocking on a citizen's door. The citizen called the sheriff's office. A deputy sheriff came and dragged the BATF officer out of there. These guys are so arrogant. They're not trained properly. And they don't know anything about the Constitution, and they flat out have no constitutional authority to even exist. And so if they'll read the 10th Amendment, the powers not delegated, what we sued on. Remember, folks, the most powerful 10th Amendment decision ever. What we sued on was that the federal government has very little authority in the states and even less in the counties. Read it for yourself. You'll see. And then join the CSPOA posse, and we'll see you at our posse webinar next Wednesday, right after, hopefully, this election for number 47.
So that's a week from this Wednesday or this coming Wednesday?
It'll be coming the day after the election.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We're going to be promoting that, Sheriff Mack. Look, I want to thank you for coming on. And folks, please, I spent a long time on Sheriff Mack's website or the CSPOA website. The links will be in the program description box. You're active on social media, Twitter at CSPOA USA. Rather than read everything, the links will be in the program description box so everyone can follow you. Now, is there anything, because I know, look, you didn't bring a sleeping bag tonight, so is there anything in closing that you'd like to say or convey aside from, well, it's up to you. You've got the last word.
Well, thanks. I'll end with the Founding Fathers, the last line of the Declaration of Independence. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Today, my dear friends, we must do likewise. The sheriffs of this country, if Trump wins, must have his back. If Kamala wins, we must have your back and the Constitution's. This is a critical time for America, folks. We need you on board. You've got to be part of the solution. If not, there's no way that it remains peaceful. May God bless us, and may God bless America tomorrow and Wednesday.
Sheriff Mack, thank you so very much. You are, again, a hero of mine, and I appreciate you.
Thank you.
And we're going to be talking about this. And by the way, that ending was the best. I'll tell you something. That was we're gonna clip that out and copy that and make that not stand alone, because that's
thank you. Thank you.
You are so right. God bless you, Sheriff. Thank you so very much.
I'll see you. I'll see y'all later. Thank you, John. See you soon.
Thank you, Sheriff. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. Folks, that was Sheriff Mack. I mean, what a great man. And you know, it took me a while to really understand, just very briefly, it took me a while to understand the significance of what he did during the Clinton administration and how that impacted everything since then. John, just to say, man, the guy's a legend, you know?
He is.
Man, I'll tell you what, when Eric the Tech talked to me about him coming on, and actually we were funny story real quick, I was dealing with his PR person, and Eric the Tech, so I was dealing with his wife, and so we were getting dates crossed, and it was incredible, but it all worked out. So but anyway, that was that. Oh, and one more thing before I go on, John, just humor me for a second. Folks, especially you in the chat, you folks in the chat, I learned something today I had no clue of. And if Eric gets upset at me for saying this, too bad. You know our intro music? You know who did every chord, every string, every drum beat, every... Eric the Tech played every instrument.
Really?
Yes.
Such talent. I had no idea.
I said, no. He said, oh, yeah, I did. I said, first of all, how do you do that? Well, obviously, you do it one at a time. I was seeing him, you know, never mind. The mental picture was super humorous, but I just want to thank him for doing that. It took him like over 20 hours to do that. But folks, that's talent. That is talent. And Eric the Tech, thank you so very much. But I had to throw that in there because I had no idea.
Well, let's give credit where credit is due. It's great work, and he has a lot of talent, obviously.
I guess so. Yeah. So anyway, John, we are joined, by the way, and let's segue into this, and we can have a conversation, because everyone's eyes are focused on tomorrow and what happens after tomorrow. With me, I'm going to bring in this, and John, you can please let's have a tabletop conversation here with Randy Taylor.
Hey, Randy.
There's John.
How we doing, guys?
Hey, man.
I told you that when you bought Eric that Fisher Prize xylophone, it would pay off one day. Eric, that's great music, man. I'm just messing with you, buddy.
I'm telling you. It blew my mind when you said that, because I didn't think he I didn't know. I mean, because I didn't know where it came from, but okay.
He's like Phil Collins. He can play a lot of different things.
He mentioned Phil Collins today. Mm-hmm. He said that was one of his things. Anyway, yeah. All right. So, RT and John, all eyes are affixed to tomorrow. All eyes are affixed to the... what's going to happen from tomorrow forward. John kind of gave me a little bit of an overview of what his thoughts were. I can't remember if that was on air or off air, John.
I'm not sure.
it just happens.
On air, off air, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking for your, not predictions, but your reasoned speculation. John, if you want to go first about...
I'll go first of all and turn over to Randy. First of all, desperate people do desperate things. And yep. it's not just Kamala Harris. It's the entire cabal of men and women who make massive profits off war, war being the most profitable human activity that ever known to mankind. And They know that the wars will stop if and when President Trump gets back into the Oval Office. And they can't have that. They can't tolerate that. Another part of the cabal is the pharmaceutical industry. Robert Kennedy will expose the pharmaceutical industry for what it is. No country on the planet spends more money per person per year on health care than the United States. And there's about 40 or plus countries where people live long in the United States. Something's really broken there. And the food industry, another massive cabal of people who are poisoning our men, women, and children with poisons that are not allowed in Europe, for example. So there's very powerful forces against President Trump that will do whatever they can to prevent him from being president and keep Kamala in the White House. She's already in the White House as vice president. And they have many clever ways to do this. The too big to fail, too big to rig is our mantra. If it's overwhelming, they will have no choice except to put President Trump back in the Oval Office, at which time they'll begin the same things they did while he was there the first time, meaningless lawsuits, attempting to impeach the man again. If we have a majority in the Senate as well as the House, that will give President Trump some peace of mind, knowing that he can move forward with doing the right things. Randy, how about you going forward and letting us know what you think, sir?
The reason I hate Trump is multifaceted, and all of the reasons that you just said. Plus, the other thing is Russia. They've really got this thing for Russia, these globalists. The reason they have a thing for Russia is you got Russia, Syria, and Iran sitting there that will have nothing to do with this new world order, with the globalists, but nothing to do with them. Russia's going to be the bad guy. They really like to get into World War III with Russia. If they can topple Russia, Syria and Iran are certainly easy targets at that point. Trump has a rapport with Russia. And they went up his butt last time about it, tried to make it like that was a bad thing. I'm sorry, when I'm looking World War III down the barrel, I think it's a good thing that he knows people in Russia and that he knows the leader of Russia. What we need to do is get Trump in there. And the other thing, one of the first things he's going to do, he's going to cut off aid to Ukraine. You know that. That's going to become a dead issue with him. And they know that. They fear that. There's a lot of money being made. Like you just said, that's a very profitable industry war. And if they've got Ukraine shut down, they're going to have to find another avenue to start World War III.
I agree with you on this. Victoria Nuland was on a couple of programs, gentlemen, or at least one that I saw, really, really stoking for a hot war with Russia. But we've got, right now, it's my understanding, there are 14 areas of conflict globally. I know you've got the Middle East, and that's broken down into subsets. You've got China and Taiwan. That's really on edge right now. And, of course, you've got Ukraine and Russia. Which is going to pop off first, do you think, gentlemen, in your estimation?
If. Well, are you talking about under Harris or under Trump?
Well, some of these wars are already going full blast. Ukraine and Gaza and Israel, of course, they're already started and well underway. China's a big unknown. Well, if and when they'll go against Taiwan, that's been going on for decades. But they seem closer now than ever with the movements they've been making with their roll-on, roll-off ships and statements they've been making, running their aircraft into Taiwan airspace and so forth. So I could go hot any day.
Okay, gentlemen, let me reformat that question. If President Trump prevails tomorrow or whenever the election is finally called, do you believe that would make some sort of move in the Middle East, China, or with Russia and Ukraine, more or less likely? RT, I'm going to toss it to you first, and then John, pick that up.
With Trump in office, I'll say with Russia and Ukraine, there'll be some sort of resolution there. The hard fighting will stop. Russia could have crushed Ukraine a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, 10 times over.
They've just been playing, he's been playing games with them. Honestly, I don't see Putin trying to take on Trump. I just don't see it. China, hard to say. I don't trust China at all. I think they're very unpredictable. Like you're talking about moving on Taiwan, they could do that. Lord knows we sold our soul to them through our politicians. They have a much better advantage today than they did 4 years ago. Any number of things could happen, gentlemen. I think with Iran, I think Iran will back down from Trump in every aspect.
Well, the Biden-Harris regime made Iran whole with all of the money and the lifting of sanctions.
Biden and Obama. Obama sent billions. Cash.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, okay. John, with a President Trump victory, let's just say, more inclined or less inclined to think that something will happen between November 5th or whenever and January 20th of next year? Your thoughts?
Well, as far as inside the United States, they're more inclined to have just outright violence in the blue cities. Mm-hmm. With the George Soros recruited, trained, and equipped protesters, the media portraying this as average Americans being outraged when in fact they're paid writers, maybe to the point where they some like the governor Newsom, as President Trump would say, would bring in the United Nations to or the Chinese troops under United Nations auspices to restore order. I've been saying for years that the UN will come here and they'll be invited by authorities to bring the peace and restore order. That's a very real possibility between Tuesday and November, January 20th.
I didn't know we were talking about from Tuesday till the inauguration. I thought you said when Trump was in office.
It was a bulky way I asked the question, I suppose, but I think
There's going to be a lot of civil unrest.
Yeah,
election and regardless of who wins, there's going to be bloodshed in the street. It's been long overdue.
Well, and I know in the show prep, and I didn't. I let's see here. No, I didn't. Right, in the show prep. Of course, it didn't.
It's still residing safely on Doug's computer.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me resend this because this is important. I don't know, did how many people in the chat and how many people listening and watching this, or either one of you, have you seen the fencing and the defensive stuff going up in D.C.? Have you seen that?
Yeah, around Kamala Harris's residence.
I've seen some photos, yeah.
Okay. I do have, and Eric the Tech, let me just give me a heads up if you received it. Okay. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. I guess maybe it's residing in the NSA's inbox at the moment, but the first one anyway. If you can queue up, let's see here. If you can queue up, just so everyone can see this, this would be video 4. It's a minute in length. I'm not sure if it has any audio to this or not, but it's really worth the view, folks, and John and RT. It's really worth the view. Eric the Tech, let me know when it's ready to pop here, when you've got it. When you've got Okay, we'll go ahead and run this. And gentlemen, tell me what you think about this. If there's no audio, well, just bear with me. Go ahead.
Hi guys, this is the White House. There's a huge fence there. An invasion taking place.
Listeners, picture of a fence, just saying, in a construction site. But this is around, I believe this is around the Capitol. There's one around the White House and around Kamala's residence, you know, Commie McNeepad's her residence. That doesn't bode well. What are they expecting and by whom?
They're expecting to win by hook or crook. They think that they actually have the votes, or they're going to cheat their way in, and they're getting set up. They figure they're going to be overrun. It's going to be like January 6th, except, you know, 5-10 times as many people, and they'll be armed.
Wow. Okay. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that. Again,
at some point, the communism's got to go.
Yes.
There is no place in America for communism. And if those asshats get in, they're bringing the communism with them. They've been shoving it up our butt the last 4 years in small pieces. The socialized medicine, all of this. Okay, big government. They're talking about regulating the profits of companies. Well, since when?
Right.
The public regulates the profits by, if you're not happy about spending the money, you don't spend the money with them. We don't need the government to come in. They're doing the same crap up in Canada. They tell the grocery stores, oh, we're making way too much money.
Yeah.
Really? Grocery stores don't make that much money. And they're like, oh, you made billions last year. Well, you know what? You're bringing people in so fast. They'll have to build more grocery stores just so we have some place to send these people to get something to eat. They don't have the houses. Everything's a disaster in Canada. That's what's coming to the States if Harris stays in office anywhere near that White House. I'm telling you, it is going to be pandemonium. But I fully expect, because they're going to cheat, we're getting tons of instances across the board of cheating. And in swing states, there's going to be a problem. The Patriots have had enough, Doug. John, you probably agree. The Patriots had enough. You know what? I can't, and we've said this before, I cannot sit on my ass at my house and be happy about this. And I can't sit here and just go, oh, well, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. I'm not going to have 25 or 30% of a population, a bunch of fruitcakes, ruin it for the rest of the country. And they're destroying the United States of America. They are destroying our country. God gave us this beautiful gift, this beautiful, beautiful gift, and we're squandering it.
Amen. John, anything to add to that? I mean, that's the way I feel too. I'm done with this. You know, at my age, imprisonment really doesn't matter much to me, because how long are you going to keep me?
Like the t-shirt says, there comes a point at our age when life in prison doesn't become much of a deterrent.
Exactly. And John, I know you're a law and order kind of guy. But at what point, John, I mean, man to man and really heart to heart.
Let's talk about some lines in the sand. First of all, Kamala said publicly, you easily see it on the internet, that if Congress does not pass legislation to confiscate firearms, that she will do it by executive action. That's a line in the sand that will not be tolerated by a large percentage of the men and women in this country. Even Absolutely. In Washington State, where my daughter lives, once you're 20 miles away from Seattle, people think and live normally. For the most part, they drive pickup trucks and own firearms once you're 20 miles away from Seattle. So most of the country feels the same way. That's the line of sand. Another line of sand that President Trump has been talking about a lot is men and women's sports, boys and girls sports. Oh, yeah. There's a growing movement against that, as well there should be. I believe we're going to start seeing fathers finally standing up on behalf of their daughters so they don't get injured by these men being in women's sports, boys being in girls' sport, which has already happened. It will happen even more so. And, of course, the border crisis. It's reached the point where it's we don't even know how many, 10 million, 15, 20 million. We really don't know. But if Kamala is in the Oval Office, that will accelerate to the point, to the breaking point of causing issues with housing, issues with health care, schools being overcrowded, everything you can imagine by men and women who come into this country who can't read, write, or speak English, have all kinds of bizarre health issues. Many of them are criminals being released from jails. Many are released from the insane asylums. The object being to not only create Democratic voters, but to destroy the country. And I don't know how many million more it will take to destroy the country, but that's the direction it's headed, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. That's what's happening. Like I said, up in Canada, that's what's happening. Take a look north of the border. That's coming here. That's what Trudeau has done up there is coming to America. Everything John just said, and one more thing, inflation and higher interest rates. And they cannot build, right now up north, they cannot build housing fast enough to put these people in. And that's a very real thing. Okay. And I'll tell you, I have a house up north. Okay, it's worth about, I'm going to say, $500,000. I could sell it right now for $2 million.
Yeah, it's crazy up there.
Stop and think about it, ladies and gentlemen. And listen, they've been keeping to where the people in the U.S. can't see what's going on in Canada, and the people in Canada can't see what's going on in the U.S. Google has done a wonderful job of that for these countries. Just a beautiful job of censorship. But what's going on up there is coming here. It's already here. It was easy for them to destroy Canada with immigration because there were only 30 million people to begin with. Now they've dumped another 5 million in there. Where are you going to put these people? They're sleeping on the streets. You know what they're doing now? If they want to come into your house, they just kick the front door in, come in, rape your wife, kill the husband, and you know what? Nobody's doing anything about it. And if I was up there and I were to defend my home in the middle of the night, see, I've always believed in the castle doctrine. You come to my house in the middle of the night, whatever. If you're found there at night, you'll be found there in the morning. And that's just the way I believe. But they had a guy, and I'm going to say out in Alberta, he's asleep in his basement. Guy comes in. Starts stabbing him in the head with a knife, stabbing him in the skull. Guy gets up, whips the piss out of the guy, then stabs the guy and kills him. Guess who went to jail? Obviously not the dead guy. They took him to jail for defending himself.
And this is in Canada?
Yes. That's what's coming, guys. And what, John, what you said about the gun grabs? We talked about this.
Well, it's a line in the sand. That won't be tolerated.
Absolutely.
If they want to start a war, if that's their goal, and of course they have focus groups to know what the hell they're doing. If their goal is to start a war, start taking our guns. That will start a war.
And the other thing, John, is we need to be concerned with are all these people that came across the border that are military-aged men.
I've been referring to them, Randy and Doug, as commandos.
All right, commandos. We know they're here. We know they're being housed. The U.S. government is feeding them, housing them. And one just has to ask why. It's not just so they have voters. These are soldiers laying in waiting.
That's right.
They're going to arm them. they'll put them upon the population, and they'll be the ones that's going to think they're going to come and take the guns.
And they won't think twice about killing Americans.
You got it. And here's the thing, the advantage we have. One, we have guns. Two, we love our country. Them coming in trying to kill us is just going to be a job, and it's going to be a huge mistake. And I'm not worried about taking on snipers with the U.S. government that have been okay to kill civilians, okay? That's not my big concern. My big concern are all these guys that came in that are being fed and housed and are waiting orders, because I don't know what those orders are. So we have no way to counter those orders at this point.
Commandos have two things they're trained and equipped to do: kill people and break things.
Thank you.
That's basically it.
Yep. That's where we're at. Well, the night before the election, here's the crystal ball, baby. We just spun it around where you can see it.
And you know, I don't think a lot of people know or remember or understand really what damage has been caused to the U.S. Gentlemen, video five. This is 54 seconds. I think this is Liz Wheeler. I could be wrong. I don't recall from the time, but this is a rundown. And folks, remember this. In fact, this is the title. Remember all of this. This 54 seconds. Remember this when you go cast your ballot. If you haven't voted already, you cast your ballot tomorrow. Remember this. This is Cut 5, Hagman PI in the show notes. That's HagmanPI.com in the show notes. Just click on the link. And there, by the way, you'll find RT's information, Sheriff Mack's information, John Moore's information. And
which, by the way, it's great to see John Moore. I haven't seen John.
It's been a long time, John.
Yeah. You look good, buddy.
Thank you. I've been working at it.
Right on.
he's remarried, by the way, RT. We haven't spoken about this. He's remarried. He's. I think you're celebrating your first or second anniversary this
second anniversary. We had a private ceremony, and then we had the official one but it's the second anniversary of our private ceremony already. So,
all right. On.
And I'll tell you what, time flies.
It does.
Too fast.
Indeed. So this is video five. Remember this, folks, when you're standing in line tomorrow. And I hope everyone, pardon me for even interjecting this. I had a conversation today. I couldn't believe this. My wife's niece, what would this be? My wife's niece, her son. So whatever that is to me, said, oh, I'm not going to vote. He's 22. I'm not going to vote because it really doesn't matter. Man, I'll tell you what. He got the lecture of his life, and I'm picking him up tomorrow to take him to vote.
All right. Way to go.
And his non-voting or voting independent girlfriend. And I said, look, if I've got to follow you into the booth, okay, I will do that. Don't make me do that, because they frown on that. But anyway, folks, do your part. But remember this. This is Cut 5 when you go to the polls tomorrow. Here it is.
So Hillary Clinton deleted 30,000 emails. Hunter Biden is a crack addict with hookers. Joe Biden sold access to the U.S. government to Chinese communists. Pelosi is rich from insider trading. Stephen D'Antuono of the FBI staged the Gretchen Whitmer Fednapping and January 6th. Mayorkas allowed the invasion of our border. Epstein's clients walk free. Dr. Fauci lied about funding gain-of-function experiments that created the COVID-19 virus. Pfizer and Moderna lied about the safety of their mRNA COVID jab. Andrew Cuomo killed 11,000 elderly people in New York. Planned Parenthood sold aborted baby body parts. Shall I go on? These people are all walking free. And yet, Trump is the one who's convicted for paying his attorney.
Pretty compelling when you hear it like that, no?
Yeah, well done.
Well, I still cannot believe that they took him to court and ended up with charges being that he inflated the value of his properties to get loans, okay? But the loans were already paid off, and the people that made the loans said they had absolutely no issues with it.
And they want to loan them more money.
You know what I'm saying? They're ready to let, yeah, they're ready to let them work. So how in the hell?
Where's the crime? Who's the victim? All right.
That's what I was telling you in that phone call last night, Doug. If they try and sentence Trump, as we were talking about.
Which is scheduled, for, by the way, folks, for November 26th.
Right, we're looking at, we were talking about trigger points. There's a trigger point right there. There's a trigger point. Be ready. There are, there's going to be at least 7 or 8 trigger points between now and Inauguration Day. And when I say trigger points, up to and including another attempt on Trump's life.
That's coming.
Yeah, you know it. You know it. You know,
we have to pray against it, folks. We have to pray against it as well as diligently. Do whatever we can. Yes. John, by the way, just say the word. I know I'm keeping you. You've got like an hour, or you're only going to get probably an hour of sleep. I know you've got a very early morning. So you let me know when you want to.
I may leave this group and maybe at the bottom of the hour, 10 minutes.
Okay, the bottom of the hour. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, we're into uncharted territory with what happened with this election process that is supposed to be over tomorrow, but may be going for another week with some of these states. I got a prediction. If Kamala is designated the winner of this election tomorrow, by Friday night, the 8th of November, every AR-15 in the United States will be sold. And by the following week, almost all rifle and pistol ammunition nationwide will be sold as well. We've seen these cycles before. We've seen it before, and it will happen again.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the assault weapons ban of the 90s.
94.
Didn't that happen pretty much like that?
September 1994.
Okay. Isn't that what happened as well? You could not even buy an AR?
I was at the largest gun shop in St. Louis the morning after it passed Congress. They'd already scheduled a tent sale. They had Winchester is right up there in Alton, Illinois, not too far away from St. Louis.
Yes,
they're bringing in two or three trucks a day with these up and down tailgates. Mm-hmm. Men were buying cases of ammunition off the tailgate of this truck before they even got to the ground and stacking them up on a two-wheel dolly, 4 and 5 cases high to leave. The female representative from Winchester, when she heard the sales numbers for that 3-day sale, she turned white with shock at the sales. And that was the first 3 days following the passage of the 1994 Assault Weapons High Capacity Magazine Ban, which went on for 10 years, by the way.
That's my old stomping grounds there, John, St. Louis and over in Illinois.
Yep.
You know, they still have your wanted poster at the post office in St. Louis, according to somebody I know. Oh, my goodness. Before you bolt, John, I want to show you this. Let me grab this. I thought you would like this. Let me see here. You were talking earlier about this, about the theft and about the cheating and about the, and so were you, RT. So, but before John goes, this is a minute 15. This is from the War Room today. And the clarity, and I think watching and talking with others, Steve Bannon is a different person today than he was 4.5 months ago. The stops have been pulled, but watch this. This is cut 7. And this really lays out, I could have added like 5 or 6 additional cuts, but this kind of summarizes it. We can't afford a repeat of this tomorrow, but watch us cut 7 and then comment on the other side. Cut 7, Earth Tech.
Because the facts are on our side. Joe Biden never got 15 million votes, more votes than Barack Obama. Impossible. We didn't pick up net 12 House seats when we lost the presidential. Impossible. We didn't win 19 of the 20 bellwethers and lose the presidency. Impossible. You generated phony ballots of folks that don't exist. And that's why you ripped those envelopes and got them. If not, Rachel Maddow would be rubbing our nose and look at this. Look at this thing. Double it in the envelope. She's there. That's her signature. She's right there. Boom. Right there. Right there. No. In the dark of night, you did this. This is why Trump had to stand up at 11 o'clock at night and say, hey, guess what? I'm up 800,000 in Philadelphia, and we're now going to take down that fence. You ain't blocking us out because you're not going to do some count. Remember, the president came out because he was tapped along and by a lot of his staff and a lot of his legal people who just wanted to get the hell out of there and said, oh, yeah, everybody's going to stop counting. We're all going to stop counting. We're going to go home and get some sleep. And you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Hey, they continue to count everywhere. And guess what? You're now losing because they got to count it in the dark of night.
John, we'll start with you because you're going to have to bolt here momentarily. Will this happen again, do you believe? This, you know, during the night, in the dark of night, ballots showing up? What are your thoughts?
This is not 4 years ago. We've got the documentary 2000 Mules, which has motivated many, many thousands of people all over the country. Turning Point USA and others are going to have poll watchers and poll workers both, and independents that aren't even registered poll watchers with video cameras at these places to record what's going on. I think if pizza boxes are taped over the windows, that maybe they'll break out the windows. I don't know. But what happened 4 years ago won't be tolerated this time by the general population, I don't believe, Doug.
Very, very, very good. Being respectful of your time, John, folks, tune in to The Liberty Man, or John Moore Show, thelibertyman.com. That's where to go. A lot of information on that website, a lot of great information. Support him, support his sponsors, and by all means, listen and watch his show every Monday through Friday. He's got just a great retinue of guests, and we really appreciate you. John, I appreciate the extra time you spent with me tonight, spent with us tonight, and thanks for
us. We'll do it again soon. Randy, it's good to see you after all these years. And
it's been about a year.
Yeah, it's been a while. Well, we'll do this again soon, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
All right. Folks, that was John Moore, thelibertyman.com. And again, follow him and hook into his broadcast every day, Monday through Friday. And folks, by the way, while I'm thinking of it, tomorrow I'll be on with Paul Preston on his radio broadcast. Let's see if I have my times right. At 11 a.m. Eastern time, 11:10, I believe, a.m. Eastern time, and that's on Republic Broadcasting, Paul Preston show. So that's going to be pretty exciting. All right. So RT, I want to show you this because this really angered me, and I know we have to expect this. This is cut eight, or I'm sorry. Yeah,
expect
cut eight.
It, but we don't have to accept it.
There you go. We've been called garbage. We've been called, of course, deplorables, garbage, and so on. But watch this. This is by Kathy Hochul from New York State. I don't know how many people have seen this. It's only 24 seconds long, but it has the, I mean, it's got a punch to it. And to me, I think I think this is shameful, and I think that there's a response that is needed. Again, cut eight, 24 seconds. Here it is.
It gave me a chance to tie the Republicans running these seats, the incumbents, closer to Donald Trump, and remind everybody, if you're voting for these Republicans in New York, you are voting for someone who supports Donald Trump. And you're anti-woman, you're anti-abortion, and basically you're anti-American because you have just trashed American values and what our country is all about. Over
anti-American now.
Where in the hell does she think that's an American value, killing a baby?
Oh, where
in the hell these people and they call themselves patriots? Well, shit, you wouldn't know a patriot if you were standing next to them.
It's a constitutional right, don't you know?
Jones, I'm so tired of this crap. That's what I'm saying. This whole deal, you mentioned earlier, men and women's sports.
Right.
Why is that being tolerated? What happened to people taking care of business? Why are we even having this discussion? If some dude showed up at one of my daughter's events. I would hope it would be swimming. Okay. That's where they'd find him, in the pool. I'll tell you, sooner or later, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to do something. And I know the people in chat probably agree with that. And the guy in chat that says that my allegiance is with Canada, it's not. It's with the United States. It always has been. You don't know me, so kiss my ass, pal. All right? You got it?
There you go.
Log it. Register, you son of a bitch.
I can tell you this. Working with Randy Taylor, his allegiance is with the U.S. because
Absolutely.
He's got family in Canada, and he does travel there, and he does have property, but he's got property here too. So
I have served this country.
Yes, you have
more than just the average Joe.
Right. Right.
Okay. And I mean, I love this country, and that's why I'm so sick and tired of watching people destroying it. We have people, they think that we should trust to make decisions that don't know the difference between a boy or a girl. They want to call them something else. Guess what? Yeah. If you got a vagina, you're a girl. If you got a penis, you're a boy. There, I solved it for you. I don't understand this. And we trust these people to take us to war? We trust these people with our sovereignty? The hell is wrong with these Democrats? Well, no, I don't want to know. What in the hell is wrong with you? And I don't get it.
Liberalism is a mental disorder, I'm telling you.
I honestly believe that. They have been programmed in masses.
Yeah.
In masses.
Yep.
The 24-hour news cycle and the crap they listen to. Anybody that would sit there and watch The View, okay, should not have a voting card. You are clueless when it comes to preserving America and keeping America great. Because if you like The View, then you know what? You're loving the open borders. And what are you going to do when some guy that we don't even know who he is grabs your daughter, takes her somewhere, and four or five of them gang rape her?
Which is happening just about every day now.
All the time. Yeah. There's murders and mayhem. Murders. They're murdering American citizens. They're murdering immigrants that did it the right way. What in the hell is with you people? Man. I am so glad to be around patriots. I'm telling you.
Me too.
You guys just make me happy. You make me happy. You know, I couldn't picture, you know what? I'm wary about going out in some places in public anymore. Just because I know I'm going to stumble into a nest of this Democrat, leftist, liberal garbage. I just know it. And, I'm like, do I really want to put myself through this? You know what I mean? But there's still so many great Americans. And it was really cool because I bring my wife to the U.S. And when she's here in the U.S., she said it's just so different. She feels safe here. She feels safe because, like, where Doug lives, you know, we'll go there. We go there on vacation sometimes. And she doesn't worry like she does when she's in Canada. You know, and I love my country. I'll do anything for the United States. I will do anything for the United States. Anybody that knows me knows that. Okay.
What blew my, let me share a story with the audience. What blew my mind after you and your wife and your family, after you were there for 3+ weeks, maybe, and you came in your travels, you came down to visit me on your way to elsewhere. I was surprised because I said, you know, go ahead and park your car in the driveway. And your wife said, your wife said, well, you got to put the club on it. You got to park it a certain way. So it doesn't. And I said, no, not here.
I told her not at Doug's house. No.
Whatever you were used to the last 3 or 4 weeks, is not happening here yet. Okay, but then we have a good security at my home as well as the studio.
even when we have a home up in Canada, when I put the vehicle in the garage, I put the club on. It's in the garage and the club, because I happen to own a vehicle that is top 10, actually in the top three, for stolen cars.
And though it's nothing special.
No, that's the thing. It's nothing special, but it is a Toyota. And Toyotas have this tremendous market value because you can't kill the vehicle. It's all, look, I drove Fords all my life, but when it came time to get a family vehicle that I would be able to see last to the end of the payments and be able to hand it down to my daughter, okay, I went with a Toyota. Okay, and I take flack for that. That's fine. I owned Fords all my life. I had a company. I had 11 trucks. Every one of them were Ford box trucks, Ford vans. I owned two Expeditions. You know what I mean? Believe me, I've always been an American-made guy. Now, if they were made in Japan and sent over, I wouldn't touch a Toyota. Okay? The particular Toyota that we have was made about 12 miles from where we were living in Canada. And
interesting.
Family and friends and family worked at that plant. So it was like almost a shoe-in to buy it. And I'll be honest with you, I've never regretted buying that vehicle. I'm serious. It's very well made.
Yes.
But believe me, I am an American guy through and through. And but what Doug was saying at his house, there's just a sense of security there. It's more relaxed there. You know, I'm always, and with my background and everything, I'm a hard guy to get the drop on. I always see you coming. All right, and that's just the way I am. I've taught my wife that, and I've taught my daughter that. We shouldn't have to live like that.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? So,
But folks,
I love the United States. My heart will always be with the United States. And if the patriots in the United States get sick and tired and say, enough is enough, it's time to rock and roll, guess what? Wherever I'm at, I'll be there.
Yeah, that without a doubt. Well, you know, you had mentioned, you know, after the Hochul clip, that you had mentioned the cult of infanticide. Now, again, this brings me back to, if you go to HagmanPI.com, click on the image of Tucker Carlson. That interview was one of the most astounding interviews you're going to listen to. I mean, it blew my mind. It's 25 minutes, but it's an investment of your time. I think it'd be well worth it. But in that spirit, in video, in cut six in tonight's show notes, liberal women march through Washington, D.C. I believe this was this past weekend.
Yeah.
Banging drums in support of abortion. You've got to see this, because this is a death cult. And the reason I mentioned that Tucker Carlson clip is because he talks precisely about the cult sacrifice of abortion and really what it is. Mm. And I've never heard that level of clarity coming from Tucker Carlson before. And he also references his encounter in February of 2023 with a spirit while he was lying in bed. And I've got to say this, I know people who have had similar experiences, but getting back to the topic, please watch this. You know, this is only 38 seconds in length, but this gives you an idea of the cult mentality of the women of the left who are so ideologically driven by.
Did you look at the actual protest?
Yeah,
the women that I saw on the picture that I saw.
Yep.
Don't have to worry about getting an abortion. Okay, the women that I saw, it'd be a cold day in hell before
by our standards. Yeah, by our standards. But I gotta tell you, man.
Oh my lord!
Today, I wouldn't put it past anything, anybody. But you're right.
You're right. I've known guys too, nail anything with a heartbeat.
Yeah, it's really a sad state of morality. Yeah.
But
in
the U.S. It is a death cult, and and you kill a baby because you couldn't do the abstinence thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you look at it and you go, geez, I can't afford a baby. Well, you weren't thinking about that when you slept with the individual.
Why it's a lot easier not to put yourself in that position.
And that my body, my choice. What about that little body that you're killing? I want you, anybody that thinks about an abortion and even thinks about it, just picture someone coming up behind you, okay, with a pair of the hedge clippers and snipping your spinal cord just below the back of your skull. I want you to just imagine that, what that pain would be like. That little baby in there feels that pain. What a horrible, horrible thing to do to another human being. What a hideous, horrible, shame on you. Oh my God, shame on you. You're a murderer. And don't give me this, well, because she was raped and this and that. Listen, I've met kids that were that were the product of rape. Yeah.
Yeah, I've only met one, actually.
But you know what? I got to meet them because they're still alive.
Yes.
And you know what? They're always welcome at my table.
Yeah. Well, here's the death cult, folks. And I apologize in advance, but you need to see this because this is the evil we're fighting against. This is cut 6 in the show notes. Here it is. 38 seconds. The 38 seconds, you can cut that. A closer inspection in RT, I think you saw some of the pictures. So some of these women are wearing Baphomet necklaces, have Baphomet tattoos, satanic tattoos.
They have this thing where they get all upset when a child takes a gun, takes it to school, and kills other children.
Oh,
and
I
sit there and I think, this child that pulled that trigger, he knows that if circumstances were just a little bit different, they may have ended up on a cold steel table or in a bucket in an abortion clinic. That's the message you send to children. Your life isn't worth crap as long as I'm the mother. As long as it's in my body, that's the message you send to children. And then you wonder why they don't think twice about killing other children. Really? That puzzles you? Are you kidding me? You're teaching them that murder is okay. That if that kid's a problem, kill it. You know what? The people that are doing this, do not be surprised, especially if somebody like Kamala Harris gets in and the World Economic Forum gets their way and you start getting in your 15-minute cities and you're eating the food that was made under a lamp somewhere. And then they say, oh, you've reached age 60. You are no longer productive for society. Here is your euthanasia date. You think I'm kidding? If you can kill at one end so easily, who says they're not going to kill at the other end?
Well, they're already doing that.
Thank you. But you're a fool for letting them go down that road because you wanted to have an abortion.
Yeah.
And life is precious.
I don't know whether you saw this in the suicide chamber, so-called suicide chamber. It failed, and there was a woman in there. Yeah. I can't even imagine the mindset of committing suicide. But anyway, the chamber failed so that the operator had to manually strangle the woman which, okay,
what are we talking about?
There was and I'm not, I don't know whether this was in Canada or what country.
Assisted dying.
Well, yeah, but I'm not sure if it was in Canada. I think it might have been overseas, where they have these suicide pods where they put you in there, and then it's supposed to be humanely.
So you had to go in and finish her off by hand.
Yeah, which again, you know, Breitbart said politics is downstream from culture. Well, culture is downstream from our spirituality and morality. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, the interview with Carlson, they talk about that, but. Lighten this up a little bit. I've got to show you this and get your reaction on this. Folks, you're going to love this. If you haven't seen this, this is perhaps one of the most... We might have to play it twice. It's only 10 seconds long. But okay. you really have to see this and envision this. Well, this is Harris's wife, Commie McKneepads. Okay. Her wife or her husband talking about Comrade Kamala. I can't describe this. You just have to watch it. We can play it twice back to back because
what a loser he must be.
What's that?
What a loser he's got to be.
I'm telling you, whoever put this together was genius. But I have to say this. Well, I'm not going to go ahead. This is cut two in the show notes.
Not a girl can turn him out.
Kamala did what Kamala always does. She just put her head down and she went to work.
Not a girl can turn him out.
Kamala did what Kamala always does. She just put her head down and she went to work.
Okay, for the radio listeners, that ending moan was Fred Sanford
as he was dribbling a basketball. Hold on to the bouncing head.
You know, we have to kind of laugh sometimes because, boy, you talk about a little bit of honesty there.
Just you look at her. Just stop and look at. Come on, let's just pretend. For 1 second, we're not Democrat or Republican.
Yeah. Okay.
Look at Kamala Harris. Does that even vaguely inspire confidence in someone? Are you kidding me? Is that someone that you want holding onto the nuclear suitcase, the nuclear football?
Can you imagine her on the other side of the table, Putin or Kim Jong-un or anybody.
You know what? Most of these people, and this is just raw the way it is, wouldn't meet with her.
Yeah, you're probably right.
They wouldn't meet with her. We've got to get past this, and I hate to sound like a chauvinist because I'm not. If a person's qualified, that's one thing. But putting someone like Kamala Harris in a position like that simply because she's a woman is absolutely the wrong thing to do, okay? Many cultures that we deal with, okay, and we're talking about people that we could be fighting in wars here anytime soon, will not have anything to do with a woman. Even when Hillary Clinton used to go around, they would shun her. They would wait for the guys to show up to talk to them. Okay, these are cultures that are hundreds of years behind us in civilization, the way they think. Then you add into that the idiot factor. Okay, how long do you think that cackle that she's got is going to last in Europe? This is not a person that commands respect when she walks in the room. Donald Trump commands a degree of respect when he walks in the room. She does not at all.
If she was running as a so-called conservative, I don't think I could back her.
No, she couldn't pass the smell test.
No, not at all. That is absolutely a very good.
So we really have to we really have to wonder then, okay, take that, and that's how we know Kamala Harris is. What is really going on with the globalists? She's a placeholder. That's all she is.
Very much.
There's something else far more nefarious going to pop its ugly head up in the next couple of years. And she's not going to be able to stop it if she wanted to. Okay? She is nothing but a glorified mouthpiece. She's a person that should not have any power. She has already abused power, even when she was a prosecutor. There's many people in prison that don't belong there. All right, and that's a fact. I'm not just making it up. I'm not just saying it because I don't like Kamala Harris. That is a fact. And Kamala Harris, I watched a video where she was talking about, and I don't know how they had the time to do this, but taking detectives, homicide detectives, and police officers and making them go visit the parents of truant children.
Oh, yeah.
And get tough with them. And the one video I saw, the kid wasn't in school for medical reasons. And you're going to go get tough on the parents? I mean,
President Trump played that clip a couple of times at a couple of his rallies.
Good. I'm glad he did, because I know on Twitter, I was trying to pound that up to him. Donald Trump, at Donald Trump, at Donald Trump, at Trump Jr., at Eric.
I could tell you that Don Jr., actually Laura Trump, but anyway, it made its way up there. It's just unconscionable. She laughed about it.
Yes, it's a brilliant example of abuse of power. Now you're going to put her in charge of the most powerful nation in the world?
No,
I don't. No. For the preservation of even, listen, when I decided to take on Al-Qaeda and preserve American lives, I didn't do it to save GOP lives. I did it to save everybody's lives. And I'm being clear on that. Okay? She is strictly... She's dangerous. You mark my words, she's dangerous. And the reason, one of the reasons why I quit doing what I was doing is, one, Obama was making it very difficult to work anything in intelligence. Doug and I have talked about this before. But the thing that really bothered me with Obama was, and this told me I had to stop, is I know Bush many times, there were threats on his life, direct threats. I got the information in Secret Service. I know it went to his desk. They call me. They say, thank you. Send me a nice letter. All that stuff for saving his life. Listen, when it, Obama, and I sat there and I actually questioned myself. I remember sitting there and saying, if I found actionable intelligence that they were going to kill Obama, would I turn it in? And I had to leave what I was doing because the answer was, I didn't know the answer, but I was afraid the answer was going to be no.
But the remarkable thing about that is that there was really no one threatening Obama, and you have to, no one in the sphere in which you were working, and you have to wonder why that is.
Yeah, that's very curious, but they were on his, he was on their side, in my opinion, because he was taking Middle Eastern people that were connected with terrorist groups, and we knew of the connections, and he was putting them in positions in DHS and in Department of Justice that required security clearances that there was no way I could get. There were clearances Doug probably wouldn't have been able to get, but these guys were being in, these lawyers, Muslim lawyers, being inserted in all these different offices.
And there's, by the way, they're still there.
Yes. That is an example of the left. That is an example of, you have to understand, the left doesn't see the U.S. sovereignty the way we do.
Correct.
We are proud to be united. We don't need anybody else, really and truly. We could become self-sufficient tomorrow if we had to.
Yep.
And we'd make it. But the left is doing everything to destroy our sovereignty, including all that garbage just coming over the border. And yes, I call them garbage because when you come over the border illegally, in my opinion, you're garbage because the very first thing you did as soon as you set foot on U.S. soil was break the law. There's a gate down there. Use it.
How many of those people that we're seeing are really family?
No, we're
going
to end up fighting these guys. So that's the thing.
Exactly.
We're going to end up fighting them. They could take, because if you think about it, think about what 10,000 armed men with orders to kill could do to any city in the United States at 8 o'clock in the morning. Probably let your mind go there.
We may find out. We possibly might find out.
Yeah, you couldn't make a movie that would engulf the complications of that.
No. No.
You couldn't. You couldn't make a movie that would even come near to telling that story. Because one, everybody would be caught off guard. Two, law enforcement would be overrun. Three, we'd all be on our way to work. You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, we've got to turn from citizens into soldiers. Man, we're talking about chaos.
That fast.
Man.
And I'll tell you what. I do suspect that we're going to see some of that. And folks, tomorrow night, Randy Taylor, myself, we're going to have a great show beginning at 9 o'clock Eastern, addressing some of the election returns and such, but something a little bit different. We are going to be looking, we're talking, hold on, RT, hold on. Okay. We were talking earlier about looking where others aren't looking, right? Yep. And that to me is something that we need to do. We should be looking in places. Yes, we'll follow the returns, but we should be looking in places other people are not. And that's going to be tomorrow's program. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And if I had the money, every one of these places where we know they're housing these people, I would have under electronic surveillance, and I would pay people to watch those cameras. And I would also 100%. I would be building a force to deal with the mess. And as soon as they government activated them, we'd slaughter them in place. We're going to be fighting these guys. Ladies and gentlemen, this is no joke. You better put your war face on, okay? Because if we don't get Trump in office, and even if Trump gets elected tomorrow night, we got a long way to go before he's inaugurated.
Either way, it's not the end tomorrow. It's the beginning.
That's right. Tomorrow is the beginning of that. Fierce fight. And before he kicks me out of here, okay, this book, all right, this is a fantastic book, Dark of Night, Blood of the Innocent. This is by Douglas J. Hagman, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, Christmas is coming. Everybody has got that person or a couple people on the Christmas list that you don't know what to get them, right?
Amen.
1995. On Amazon, go to Amazon. You can do it in Canada or the U.S., but go in there and just punch in Doug Hagman, and his books will come up. And this book is 1995. This is a fantastic book. Ladies and gentlemen, this would make somebody a great present for Christmas. And if you've already gotten them presents and you want one more thing, great stocking stuffer. They better have a good-sized stocking. But it is a good stocking stuffer, okay? And listen, this helps operational cost here. This helps Doug, okay? Part of this money always goes to children. You really don't know. You guys have no idea how generous this man is. He's so generous. He's so generous, sometimes I get angry with him. Because I'm like, come on, don't give all your money away, okay? Because it's always a fight with operational costs and things like that. It's a struggle to stay on the air, and it's going to get worse. Whether Trump or Harris is in, it's going to get tough, okay?
Amen to that.
Because it's going to be coming from all sides. It's been coming from all sides. Doug's done a fantastic job. He's the greatest guy on the air as far as I'm concerned. And ladies and gentlemen, go ahead and buy it.
Wait a second. That's fine. RT, I want to leave people on kind of a humorous note. If we can slip in cut three real quick and let people chuckle a little bit. Okay, just play 30 seconds of cut three. Can we do that? That might be a problem.
Wow, sorry about being so tense, folks. Election's right. Tomorrow night, and I'm tense.
Yeah, well, we should be. And don't worry about Cut 3, folks. It'll be in the show notes, HagmanPI.com. It's a great dog video. And I'll tell you what, you'll enjoy it. And we need to enjoy it. RT, we'll see you tomorrow night, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. May God bless each and every one.